It is, we just see that it needs to be strengthened, and that is why we had to call the speaker in the short notice. There was also another issue, I also need to finish. There was also another issue that was raised by Honorable Galatas, and the standing in for Honorable Al-Sahmi. That is that, apparently at the committee section, there is some of the areas that they are experiencing that they found should be included in the road. So we said we are going to allow reason for the short space of time that we allow. Apparently people have raised issues that they felt that is issues that is necessary that possibly we must look into it. So according to me, it is existing issues. There are those issues that people have to go and look for. That is why I thought we don't need a lot of time to give them an opportunity for that. So I'm opening the meeting and explaining why we have to have this meeting in a short space of time. So with that, we are, you are welcome, and we will allow for the apologies to be recorded.
Afternoon, members and colleagues. The apologies that we received is from Honorable Akutasi. She is attending a funeral, and also Honorable Nyambi. I think she is from here in Germany. That's the apologies that we received. Thank you very much.
So the apologies is there. We have received them. We can continue. And first of all, can we just have, if anyone is opposed to that and say we shouldn't approve the apologies, speak now or forever reject it. If not, the apologies is accepted. The next point is the agenda. The agenda is in front of us. The agenda is in front of us. For adoption of the agenda is the consideration of the minutes of the meeting of last week, and also the consideration of the second addition to the rule, which is the ninth edition. So the minute is also there, it's available, and there is also a record of decision. I hope it is included in the minute. So, the chief is the agenda of this meeting. All of them are counted what they were standing for. And like I said, the reason why we put
relationship with the acting chief whip is concerned. The proposal from the chief whip was that we should delete from the current proposal chairperson, so that the house and the absence of the chief whip, or if the chief whip is unable to perform his or her function, it is the house that appoints the chief whip. We thought that it would be convenient if it is the chairperson who appoints the chief whip of the council, the acting chief whip, in the event that the chief whip is unable to perform his or her function. Merely because in the event that the chief whip is unable to perform his or her function, council may elect and may not necessarily appoint. So the question that arises is whether indeed the council must elect an acting chief whip. We thought that it would be convenient because at that time it may happen that the council is not necessarily sitting. So our proposal is that the proposal should stand as it appears on the current proposal, that it should be the chairperson who appoints the acting chief whip.
So your proposal is a chairperson to me.
That is correct. The next one related to the composition of the whip party. We propose that proposal be accepted, to the composition of the whip party should be party whip and the party representation. But perhaps just to caution, insofar as that proposal is concerned, if the party whip and the party representative are made part of the composition of the whip party, it means that in the unlikely event that the quorum is required, they should be counted as forming part of the quorum. Our proposal would have been that the composition of the party should be held as what it is, with the proviso that a party that is entitled to a party whip will be entitled to be represented by that party whip in the party, and the party that does not have a party that does not have a provincial whip will be entitled to be represented by a party representative without necessarily making them part of the composition of the party. But at any rate, if that decision is taken, we shall incorporate that proposal in the proposed amendment. I hope that I am simplified it. The next proposal related to setting capital D. And we propose that that also be accepted insofar as the party representative as well as the party whip are concerned.
That is
we are saying that those proposed amendments, those proposals by the chief will be accepted. And it should read as follows: the party, a political party represented in the council that does not have a provincial whip and has less than 7 members will be represented by the party representative. Political party represented in the council that does not have a provincial whip and has more than 7 members will be represented by a party whip.
More than seven
and more.
Because what you said is safety. So it should be more cheaper. What is the job proposal?
No, I was using the 7 or more.
Okay. 7 or more.
So it's not more than 7. 7 or more.
Okay. I don't know what it means, more than 7, 7 or more. It means different things. Okay. We want it.
The threshold is 7.
Yeah. Yes. I don't want to engage in the conflict.
confused me if you said that you give that one, that you give that piece. That is what I'm confused.
Okay,
okay, I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Then you go to provincial.
The proposal dealing with the provincial list, I think that proposal was agreed to.
Because that is your idea.
That is correct, yeah.
What do you say, just for the sake of Honourable Bakal, to explain what is deleted and what is remaining? So read the correct paragraph, should be there, please.
The...
That is 13 D1.
D1.
Do you have this? Wait, do you have this?
Yes, I do have enough to
just ask us because we never can understand. Sometimes a ball cross means delete or something like this.
Okay.
No.
Chief of Law give his comments after.
Then the next one relates to, which is now contained on page 3, I think, of the version that you have, Deputy, the edition of party whip.
Is it party whip or party representative? What is the term that you are using?
We are using two terms.
Okay.
We are using party representatives and party whip.
Okay.
Our comments, insofar as the composition of the whip party, are concerned, apply with equal force insofar as the composition of the program policy is concerned.
Okay.
Our proposal, as I indicated, just to repeat it, is that the party should be, we must make just representation possible insofar as the party is concerned, as well as the party representative is concerned, as well as the party is concerned. The issue of composition of committees, Deputy, I think the current, in terms of the current rules provide that the provincial delegations should be represented by an equal number of delegates in committees. Our proposal is that because it may not be possible for the delegations to be represented by an equal number of delegates in committees, that at least a province must be represented by one delegate at the very least. Other provinces might be, or other provincial delegations might be represented by two delegates, depending on the strength of the delegation. So if the proposal is that at least, at the very least, a delegation must be represented by one delegate, then we know that at least from the onset, we have 9 members of the committee, and depending on the strength of the delegation, then we can have more than that.
Thank you.
There's an issue that the chief has raised about the instances where one province is represented by more than one delegate in the committee, and the question is, what do we do when it comes to voting? Our proposal is that, or our view is that, if a province is represented by two delegates or more than two delegates in a committee, the rules cannot prescribe as to who should vote on behalf of a province. All that the rules can do is to provide that a delegation has got one vote, and that matter should be resolved within the delegation.
This is just a recommendation. I think with regard to the issue of the revival of politics, which has appeared to be speaking and reported to be covered adequately in the proposal in 2 years of current. And I informed you about the fact that we have sent the proposed or amendments to the committee section. But it is your proposal that we will be dealing with to put this look at indicate that it's your view.
Yeah, I'm Chair, thanks. I think it's getting to understand our rules and also some practical experience that when we deal with them, we should be at least have some form of evidence that we are solving a problem and we are strengthening our rules so that they become effective for effective tools and guides. Just the first one, on the 13th day, the one in the function of the chief, where she advocates that to ensure that there is a quorum in the house. Just to end it, to say that there is a quorum in the house. Sorry? Yeah, no, you say what? I was saying, for me, when you say just to ensure that there's a quorum in a house of the council, and it's as if the function starts and ends in the house. My interpretation. The reason why you were saying that that members participate in the programs and business, the emphasis normally is that parliament is more committee of parliament than to see the house. So I don't know if it means, if this is carried, I just want to be sure that members attend the program and business of the committee. All what I was saying here was to underscore a point that members is obligatory to sit in the committee. This is a full-time responsibility. Members must sit in the committee and must take charge. If the committee is unable to perform this duty, I should be able to can report to the chair of the committee when the committee has ceased to function. So I was making that point here. And members attended participating programs and business of the council. Sorry? Is it carried? Is it?
No,
because
I said chairperson was clarifying because this is your proposal and we must understand better. The member just came in almost at the end of the last meeting. So that is why we want to understand better.
Yeah.
Because you waited.
Yes, there are times, you know, it must be unambiguous at times that members must have. Maybe it sounds a little bit obvious, but it's something that we have to, I thought that it's something that must be like a members must attend and participate in programs and business of the country.
We will come to the discussion. Can you just finalize
The acting chief whip was like, for me, the current system works well. Mm-hmm. If I'm not okay, that I have said that if the chief whip is not in, know that it's not going to be in available, the chief whip must appoint the acting chief whip and communicate accordingly. But here, it tells of the, what is it, the house, yeah, the chairperson. What is it? Say the chairperson may appoint an acting chief. I was separating the two things. There's a normal thing that the chief will be absent, and there's an unlikely situation that the chief will be incapacitated. Mm-hmm. If the chief will be incapacitated, then that applies where the chairperson can appoint. Initially, I said the council can appoint. The argument that says that the council may not see the work all of time or what. Makes sense. I'm not interested. It makes sense that the council may not see that the person may be, the council may have to have an acting chief. You see?
So what does it mean? What do you agree with?
No, I'm saying the first point is that the issue of absence cannot be regulated by the chairperson.
Yeah.
You agree on that one?
Yeah. But still, A is unable to perform.
Yeah, unable to. Yes. Okay. If that one is understood, I agree.
What is it that you understand? You agree that the chairperson should be the one to appoint?
Yeah, for me, it's the issue of unable to appoint. If chief whip is unable to perform his function and unable to appoint a deputy chief whip, you know, those are two key things. It means the chairperson may appoint a deputy chief. That's what I agree with. Not anything else.
Hmm.
Anything else I disagree with?
I don't see anything else.
Alright, thank you. On the party whip, I agree, but initially the advocate said that the party whip doesn't have the same status as a position. And we should be able to be clear about that thing. The party whip and the provincial whip, but it's appropriate to recognize a party that has got more than 7 as a party. That is appropriate. There is no other thing. You can't just say party representative and be accordingly marketing.
But I think this one is clear because
but I was saying something about the power. I was a bit confused about the power because provincial state has weight more than the party with. Why do you complicate the power? Because currently there's but the party will be in line with multi-party democracy. You must recognize that the party in strength and capacity significantly must be recognized as such.
I don't know why making a political system now. That's why we are trying to remember about the issue of what is the representation of EFF in the program committee.
Yes.
And we agreed there that we will then put it into the rules as party list. But it doesn't mean the party will replace the provincial. It is where the party needs to be represented.
Yes, it's an issue later with the counting of the para. I don't know, it's not expressed here. Maybe not.
But it's not expressed.
Yeah, maybe
let us
we use the same arrangement.
Let us not discuss the thoughts between what you two are thinking. Let us discuss what is in front of us so that we can find
out. The final idea how these thoughts that you two are thinking is the rules of the interpretation.
And the interpretation is that there is a party book, and then there is a definition of what it is that we are saying is a party, what for a party represented.
Okay, Chair, I don't know if I meant you to say the procedural the advice is that I don't mean to say, but I agree with you. You agree?
Chair, if maybe the Chief Whip can elaborate this a bit on the status of a party whip and a provincial whip. There's a confusion there.
Okay.
The word status, maybe.
No, I think the issue, because possibly you don't have the background that we have, the issue of party came from the fact that in the first parliament, AFS didn't have more than seven representatives. Thank you. Now they've got more than seven representatives. So all the time, AFS did attend program meeting and other meetings, but they were not necessarily at a particular city. So as a party, they qualify for what is called a party whip. But the provincial whip is a whip of the total delegation, including even those that qualify for party whip. That is the difference that is there. So sometimes if you speak about status, people can become a bit uncomfortable. But it is not about the status, it is about what position you actually think when you are seeing you are in this specific meeting. So what is the specific position that you are taking? So I think if Jefferson is the what you could speak about status, it can make you uncomfortable. But it's not about status, it's about where you will be representing your party. And in terms of the party having more than seven members, so the party qualifies for the specific title. You can get the title from the state. So Chief, there is still two other points that you said there?
I can't remember now. Most of the things are okay. As proposed originally and refined, I don't want to agree with that, but yeah, and refined, because that's a really deep experience here. We saw what is the problem. We must not rehash. Appointment of provincial whips.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, my strong view, honestly, on this one, is that the city council, there's no problem with the city council.
Mm-hmm.
On the appointment of provincial whips, the current arrangement of designating a provincial whip by the province is fine. This thing of corporate consultation and what is in it doesn't work, it's impractical. That's it. To be honest, the current is 45.
I know what you're saying.
Yes.
And I think let us retain
it. Let us not tamper with this.
Let us retain it.
I was questioning last
on
time appropriately that any other thing behind the scenes, the party doing their own business.
Mm.
But the rule must end the test of time.
Let's find finish. We will come to the table and finalize it. Acting provincial with Chief. What is your view on that one? Is it fine so that we can go back to that thing?
On the what?
On the issue of acting provincial. Is it fine?
No, here is what I experienced every day. Is that the provincial whip, when the provincial whip is absent, that provincial whip may appoint from a permanent delegate. Ne? Somebody to act as a provincial.
But is our
No, I don't agree with this proposal. It's just an unnecessary process. When Honorable Dango is not present, arranges who must be a provincial whip.
Who are they?
The whip. Yes.
Okay, that is the first thing.
Yes. Now, that's the first thing. For me, I think we must, it is the first thing that we must do. But if the provincial whip is unable to perform the duties of a provincial whip, the chief whip may appoint a permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as provincial.
So, chief whip, you say we must keep them?
You must not use them the same. Remember, they are often more absent. And there's an arrangement. We can't run around to seek the appointment of a provincial whip. It's a functional thing. It's operational. We do that every day in our business.
I don't know why you're...
Okay, I'm responding to the team here.
I want you to be very simple so that we can come to the conclusion as to what are we deciding here. You are saying, if he is absent or unable to perform the functions of the provincial law may appoint a permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as a provincial law. Because this is both absent and unable to perform. But then there is another paragraph that says, in the event that the provincial law is unable to perform, but in the first instance, it is covered, absent and unable to perform. So what I'm asking is that, can you just assist us to say, so which means we keep the first paragraph and we delete the second one? This is what the chief of this
report is. Yes, I am proposing that if the provincial whip is absent, the provincial whip may appoint a permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as provincial whip. Yes.
And then?
The provincial whip is absent and we are notified that so and so is acting in that responsibility. We have our business, we have our duties. He's absent. He's literally absent. For what reason we don't know, but he's absent, but there's a communication that has taken place between provincial whip and the delegation of the government. You know, because those things do happen.
Yes.
But the real issue is, if the provincial whip is unable to perform the functions of the provincial whip, maybe because of incapacity, the provincial whip, the chief whip may appoint a permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as a provincial. It means that process of consulting there is easily facilitated and the provincial whip is appointed. Because we don't, I can't appoint anybody. I'm just saying this thing, the decision making of this thing always is with the provincial delegation.
This thing that you are saying is consistent with the one on the 18 chief. Because in the case of the 18 chief, but they say, if in the event that the chief is unable to perform, the chief is not there. So what you are saying now here, this is the one. In the event that the provincial is unable to perform, the chief will be appointed. Up until the return of the provincial law or the appointment of a provincial law person. It is consistent in the fact that it's giving the higher official or member the responsibility to do it. So it is consistent. What you are saying is that unable to perform the function should be deleted from the first paragraph so that it is in the second paragraph. It is what you are proposing.
No. What I was saying that, okay, let me read what he said. He says, if the provincial whip is absent, the provincial whip may appoint a permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as a provincial. permanent delegate from among the delegates of the province concerned to act as a provincial.
I'm asking if the chief would be.
Yeah,
but because it's consistent for the issue of the chief, so it makes sense. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
So what must we do? Is just to take off or I don't to perform the functions of the provincial. Which means the first one is dealing with absenteeism and the second one is dealing with inability. And of course, we are clear all of that. So this is the only thing that you wanted to understand. Thank you, Chico. So there's no other issue on the proposal. Because the last one is on the
issue of committees.
The last one is the issue of committees because on the program committee we are in a
this thing of committees, just for clarity, if we agree that the current the composition of the committee, then it's not the same, then they vary in terms of numbers. I remember initially I was saying all provinces must be represented in the committees and we are square. But it's impractical. Because, in fact, there's a need always and a constant engagement with parties to distribute membership to various committees. I mean, if you can have one party, one need to serve in communication and not any other committee. But the current arrangement, I don't know what changes here. The current arrangement with what the advocate has said. Because it's the reality. I mean, committee insecurity, I think, is justice. At times, there's always a battle who votes in the committee. And then we know what, members are unable to resolve those issues because we always seek the guidance from the procedural table. What do we do in such instances? In finance, let me provide an example of finance. That issue doesn't arise. You find a member who belongs to another part going to do a provincial mandate in a province. But you can't disturb what the province says. The province says that we vote in this manner. So a member clearly belongs to another party and he says, in my party we don't accept this, but the province votes in favor. That's parliamentary dissent. But in committees, it's a different matter at times. You find that there's a matter on the discussion and there are two members who serve in a committee. And the voting comes is that who votes on that particular issue. And because voting becomes party fair in most instances, people hold into party views, not all committee members, yeah, something like that. I don't know whether I represent it right, but I asked even on our chief that she must help me to understand this thing that we are promoting. That because the mediation theory in terms of who must vote.
But what does it give us? Okay, I think because I also asked him for clarity because I was a better thinking about it. What he was advising is that the name is Shabbat. And we know that there is this thing of partisan, but the delegation, the total delegation, they must agree who is voting on behalf of that province. Is that specific? Issue. I was
you are saying the provincial delegation meetings.
Yes. Is it what?
Decide at which committee is what we are voting.
I said what you mean.
Let me correct you. Our proposal is that because that's a matter that belongs to the delegation.
So the delegation.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. It will be taken up with the provincial, but the delegation was the same. As to who is going to whip on behalf of vote on behalf of that province. Is there anything else?
No. What happens to the rules now? Matters that relate to committees. I didn't hear last time you could say something like consulting committees or you got the honorable Miglaki.
It was honorable Miglaki, but I didn't think when this issue was raised, it was a committee decor. Issue. Now when we sent the rules back to them, the draft rules back to them, committee say they don't have time. want to go and look for issues, because apparently they want to come back, they want to go and look for issues, and I have very much in agreement. I don't know what the committee says, that's the review committee is saying about that, but I'm not in agreement with that issue.
Yes, I want to make my two statements, Chair, you can call this legal lawyer here, the lawyer actually has been You know, the other people, I just want to, on the issue of composition committee, just to have the clarity, because genuine, points that, questions that I pose in the document, that left answer, is quite very key in terms of the functioning of our house. When I was reading it, the provincial group could not nominate members to committees. It will be practical and create unnecessary problems when we give those things. That we assemble, the chief coordinates and engages constantly with parties, and they make trade-offs in that process in terms of committees. So what we formulate on the rules should appreciate that reality. That, you know, we should not go say something that is not going to be realized in real situation. I mean, that's the truth. Many of the members of parliament, they get shot. The first thing is that everybody, when they present their profiles, their TVs, they choose which committee they want to participate. But the reality is that when you are the representativity, the gender, whatever policy that guides us in the constitution. Because we're building an racial and sexist, democratic country. So that when it's expressed in practice, you realize that the chief whip has got a greater role to play in terms of engaging with a provincial delegation to ensure that the committees are fairly represented. Or else then so people are supposed to go away in section 3.
It is in the rules the issue of representativity on the basis of demographics and all of that. It is definitely it is in the rules to go. There was still another issue. I don't know. I think it should just bring it to the attention of the people. The issue on the bill, issue of the law. Yeah. If you go back to the rules, Rule 162 to 167 will possibly be deleted from the rules, but there will be a provision as to, because apparently the NCOP rules are not consistent with what is happening in the NA, and it's also making it very difficult for me to propose on ground. So that one will be amended to the extent that it will allow members to be able to submit bills, but also to make sure that constitutionality and financial, what is it, implications are measured. So the rules will provide for that. That is the one issue. What is the other issue?
Yeah, I think those
should be sufficient. So that is the other issue. But otherwise, the rules, this amended rules, without the cosmetic changes like grammar and whatever is in front of us, this way I don't think today we can be able to take it to the
Chair. Chair, can I just apologize for being here? I have no very enthusiastic
I think somewhere we see members can attend any committee.
I have no very enthusiastic secretary. The same with all kinds of meetings, sometimes two meetings at the same time.
No. Members are allowed to attend any committee, they can either to attend any committee in the future. So are we in a
committee?
You are in a committee.
Thank you very much.
You said you were going to be the same before the truth after the change. And then when will we do it together? When
talk to the applicant to be shared on the final exam. And be convened accordingly. We are forever available to you. There's only for another meeting.
There's only for another
meeting.
Thank you very much, David. I was. Why is it? She could start to be final
decision. Yeah,
because he will not.